I think we had a little too much fun back at the Dwarven Hold, but it was needed. We've seen a lot of darkness, both literally and figuratively, on this journey, and it felt good to let go just for a night. Now it's time we set out again, and this time, I have loftier goals in mind. If no one's going to step up to the challenge, perhaps it's time we did something. Let's find out what the future holds on today's Short Quest, Long Rest.
Welcome back, my players. I love you all.
We are back.
Don't lie to me.
You're back.
Oh, yeah.
Having just finished a series of events in the Dwarven Valley, including clearing the halls of black ice and failing to, but setting future goals to win yourself a cow, find yourselves packing up and heading out into the icy waste, the, you know, perpetual twilight that hangs over the dale. And as you travel southwest to the mouth of the Dwarven Valley, you honestly have pretty much the entirety of the compass as far as the direction that your feet want to take you. And as you guys are trudging along, what is the conversation on where your goals are next? Where are you most keen on heading?
Well, Rian's been thinking about it a lot, and as far as what we've seen, what we've been through, what we still need to do, but the fact that, and we had this conversation at the, you know, in the bar when we were all half lit, but
fully lit,
or fully yeah. lit, yeah, or a raging inferno,
yes,
either way. But as we had that conversation, we were sitting there talking about, like, what do we do with this? Like, we see that weird shit's happening. Obviously, bad things are happening. And we've all kind of proven ourselves to be pretty adept at handling this, the fuckery, I guess, of the North. And that leaves us with the thought of, you know, who's going to handle it? Like, it's kind of a Ghostbusters thing. Who are you going to call? So, I think, you know, Rian's pretty interested in actually figuring out a little bit about what's going on up here. And maybe trying to help do something about it, because, you know, he has to make, you know, the North isn't safe. It's the one place he thought he could go with Miri. And if it's not, it's either leave or try to make it safe. So I think the conversation kind of something along the lines of like, you know, we've been doing this for at least a bit now, but I kind of want to look into this. I want to see what could possibly be causing this. And the only lead I've seen that might lead to this to make me think that it had something to do with what's going on in the North is we heard about that great white beast. And I link it to the fact that upon that mountain, we fought that giant snow or owlbear. It was pure white and seemed otherworldly. And now we hear that there's this otherworldly moose in the Lonely Wood. And I can't help but think that maybe somehow they're connected.
So our greatest lead is there are two animals and they're both white.
I know it's thin. I will not deny.
Thin is a kind word.
Oh, I understand, my friend. But, I mean, the only thing I can say in there is I guarantee there's a bounty on it at least. So, if the worst comes to worst, we handle this thing for Tourmaline. And maybe we get a bounty out of it. Make some money. Or we head over there, we find out it's just a big-ass moose that's white. We turn around and we head back to Bryn Shander.
I'm not saying no. I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. I guess I just wouldn't be surprised if it's not connected.
I know how thin this lead is, but it's really all we got. I've been thinking over the things that we still have to get our last package to Vanifer up in the far northeast, but we've heard nothing as far as tales of that having to do with anything. And as far as I'm concerned, as little as they've paid us, that can sit on the back burner for a hot second. I'm not too worried about making our way across the wastes up to the Ragged Glacier, where everybody that we've even mentioned it kind of rolls their eyes at us like, seriously, that's where you're going? That is some back burner stuff as far as I'm concerned. I can't help but feel that everywhere we go, no one's talking about doing anything about this. Everybody's just kind of accepted the fact that it's just perpetual night up here now. And no one seems, even these names that we've come across, like Jarl Axel and Artis, like they're not on some epic quest to take care of it. They're Jarl Axel, it was just kind of like a side thing that he was interested in. Like, if they're not going to do anything about it, then who the hell is?
He did seem quite concerned.
I mean, I didn't get concerned out of it. I got mildly amused. That's what I took.
Emotion I'm familiar with.
It literally said to us that if we meet again and we survive, he may tell us what he knows. Like, that doesn't sound like someone that's very concerned. You think if you were very concerned, you'd throw it at us and be like, oh, by the way, this is everything I know. Maybe you can help us. But then again, I'm kind of new to this. Like,
well, either way, we can make a difference now. So,
aye.
Why so, not?
That's the spirit.
Felger just kind of rolls his eyes.
Rian kind of grins that a little bit.
Yes, yes, yes. It's all very fuzzy and warm. It's very nice. I'm outnumbered. He just kind of withdraws himself.
Well, so far, we still haven't heard from Dreamer Davini. You're outnumbered with me and Krellick, but...
Oh, yes.
I can't decide for the rest of them.
I guess they just all look at the two of you.
Yeah, look over at Davini and Dreamer. But like, Davini, what are you thinking about this? What do you feel about all of this happening up here? This is your home.
I think... I think that if we have a direction to try and help.
Hey, well said. And you, Dreamer, I have no idea what goes on inside that head of yours, so if you could articulate it, it would be fantastic.
I like to be able to see.
Aye, so that's
just,
very good.
Felger
like,
just narrows his eyes. Like
no, I... it took Rian a second. Like, see
what?
Like,
see what?
He means he can't see in the dark. That's, and he kind of like leans to Felger and he's like, he can't see in the dark like we can. He literally wants to see. I mean, it's good, as good as raising any eye could
be.
He
just
like,
rubs his eyes.
It's the most practical thing. We're talking about grandstanding and making a difference and all these great things. He literally has a specific thing in mind. He just would like to see again. It makes perfect sense to me.
I guess it's as good of a reason as any.
But all right.
It's at least one I can understand.
So now you're outnumbered.
What else is new?
But, so the real question is, does anybody have a better idea besides... just randomly looking for white creatures, because it's all I got right now. And it's close. Tourmaline's just around the corner.
It's also
get there in half day.
Near a forest, which I would like to see.
Oh, that's right. You made mention of that before when we were coming up here. That
a while. It's been all snow and glaciers, and I hate it.
And we kind of touched on a forest when we went and found that dead delivery man. Where we took the, the whole Plan B thing.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we only stayed there a couple seconds, but... either way, don't worry about that.
I got to enjoy a forest as Krellick ripped a frozen arm from its corpse.
You see, that was not supposed to happen.
No, I gathered that much.
I mean, it's what happens. I'm not upset about it. Like, feel bad for the fella. Speaking of which, yeah. Next time we're in Brynchander... we really need to send someone that way, because that poor guy, someone should, at least bury him.
So, is anyone against Tourmaline as the next stop?
Like Rian said, it's just around the corner.
Well, sounds like the eyes have it then.
To Tourmaline.
All right.
To Tourmaline.
All right.
Away!
Hello!
So, are you heading for the road and then north along the shore of Mare Duolodon? to Tourmaline, or are you just going to cut straight across country?
I mean, so it's 5 miles. What can we do? We can do on road, what is it, 4 miles per hour? Distance per hour. Yeah, 4 miles per hour.
At a fast pace on a road, yes.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say. So that's literally like an hour and a half worth of walk. It's like 5 miles there along the road.
Whereas on foot without, well, let's see, on foot with snowshoes, overland travel is 1/2 mile.
Yeah. So that's like, what, 6 hours of travel? So 6 hours of travel if we cut across, or 1.5 hours if we walk
across.
It's
both longer and more dangerous.
It's not longer. It's only 2.5 miles.
Well, I mean, longer time-wise, right?
Yes, very longer time-wise. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, it would be like an additional mile, but would still be significantly faster to go by Tourmaline or the road. You're still going to be traveling a bit overland because you need to actually like get to the road. Mm-hmm. But
that's right. That little road line that we have is just our path. That wasn't technically a road that we took. Yeah. I love our little lines. Like, I love this map. Yeah. I know the people on the listening can't see it, but we have a map of like 10 towns in the area of Icewind Dale, and you can see an orange friggin' line that runs all the way up the 10 trail to Bryn Shander, then a yellow one that runs up to Targos and then around to Kelvin's Cairn, and then a green one that comes back towards the Dwarven Valley. So it's like every leg of our trip that we've done is like color coded, and I love it so much. Thank you, Josie.
I did the same thing for a Waterdeep Dragon Heist game that I ran, where we went from start to finish, and by the time we were done, like, you could tell exactly which roads they preferred to travel because they had just gone up and down them like 5 or 6 times throughout the adventure.
I'm looking forward to that. So, like, yeah, really looking forward to seeing these lines fill in a little more. So let's do that. Let's head on up to fucking Tourmaline. Let's take the road across over to the whatever the hell that road that runs between Targos and Tourmaline, and
bada bing.
Stop in and say hello.
Bada boom.
So as you hit that northern road and start walking along the shore of Mare Duoladon, I'm sure I'm probably saying Duoladon, there you go, there's a biting wind that presses on you from the north. You know, the white-capped water to your left, most of it frozen, but you know, there's clear patches out there, it's still saleable. It's just, there's so much cold wind coming off it that you almost feel as if you were not even bundled up against the cold. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, you are not in that blasting icy wind for long when you start to approach Tourmaline. Now, even in the semi-darkness of the aurora overhead, you find yourself sort of cresting a low hill and overlooking a picturesque town, where there are little lanterns dotting the place. You can make out faintly that all of these buildings, all these, especially the wooden faces of them, are carved with depictions of wizards and homunculi, tigers, weirdly, and smiling djinn. Like, there's very much a sort of southern flavor to a lot of the wood carving that you see even as you crest the hill.
Interesting.
Gonna bring you to the map here.
So it's almost like the Chinatown of not specifically Chinatown, but you know, like you get to a certain part of town and a very specific culture is like, you know, everything, the architecture is in a very prominent way. I like that. So it's like the Southlands.
And you would be approaching by this southernmost road. Now, you're still feeling a lot of that very harsh, icy wind, you know, sinking its claws and teeth into you as you approach the town from the south. Thankfully, as you descend the slope toward Tourmaline proper, the buildings act as a sort of windbreak, and that wind dies down significantly.
Yay.
Approaching it, you can hear distantly off to your left the splashing of water and the creak of ships at their moorings. And from the hilltop, you had been able to see a line of docks. Some of them frozen. The ship's moored there, stuck solid, especially on the shorter docks. The longer ones, people seem to have crowded their boats around, where the water is icy, but not yet solid. Probably never going to be solid because it is so deep. Approaching, you find it bustling. From the hilltop, you probably would gauge the population here to be in the several hundred, not quite approaching 1,000, but there's a decent-sized population here in Tourmaline. Most people seem to be going about their business hither and thither, and no one really pays attention to you as you enter through the streets. Are you stopping to look for anything in particular here, or are you going to keep moving on to Lonelywood?
I think we're gonna, at least Rian would want to stop and ask about it. Like, mm-hmm. You know, maybe hit up the nearest tavern or something like that, or gathering spot wherever you find a bunch of people kind of hanging out.
I would, like a sawmill?
Oh, that's a good call. Or a carpenter that would use something like, would use the wood, so like someone who's would be impacted by the fact that... Mm-hmm. So yeah, if there's no sawmills here and they're all up in the Lonely Wood, then yeah, like a carpenter. But if there's like sawmills on the outside, that'd probably be a great one to ask about.
Yeah, so that's what Felgrin would suggest.
Yep, that's very good.
All right, so are you wandering the street looking for such a business? Do you stop and ask somebody? Or what is the approach to finding
them? Yeah, I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't ask the first person he sees. You know,
no point in just randomly wandering and stuff. So,
alrighty. Well, as you are, you know, sort of sussing out the crowd to find someone to ask, give me a history check from Felgrin. Crap. But I want you to use your charisma modifier.
Ooh,
yay!
Yeah, I say you probably just roll charisma then, since you're not proficient, I'm assuming, in history.
I am not, no.
Yeah, I don't want to just assume, but it doesn't strike me as a historian type.
20.
Okay.
Nice.
So, sussing out the crowd, you spot someone who looks as though they could possibly fit your needs. There is a very stocky-looking man that goes by.
Big.
Dark clothes, you know, hood up against the snow. It's got rabbit fur around the edges there.
Big calloused hands.
Yep, big old big lumberjack.
Big calloused hands. Yeah. And as you stop him, you know, kind of a hand on the arm or however you get his attention.
Stop that man.
He pauses. Crunch of his boots ceases in the snow. There's something I can do for you.
He'll lower his hood. Yes, you look like the lumberjack type. Perhaps you could point me in the direction of Tourmaline's sawmill? Or anybody, any place where folks who work the Lonely Wood gather?
And you see him kind of chewing on the inside of his lip. And then turns his head and spits into the snow. And, you know, it's not like a gesture where he's spitting on your words.
No.
You see that there's a dark splash of something there into the sort of dirty snow that's been mucked up underfoot. There's not much call for a sawmill down here. That would be the business of the town up the road. There's the mine. I do their supports there. And he has this very broad-shouldered build. And, you know, the rough hands. And he's kind of motions a little bit northward and to the east. Actually, there's been less work about the last few days for the miners and for me. If you were looking for work, I'm sure that you would find some here.
Work, in a sense. I'm after information, or rumors, coming from the Lonely Wood. Anything you've heard? Anything odd?
Well, there's the moose, mm-hmm. but...
Moose?
That's just stories from the people up north. Not many of us go into the woods. Spend most of our time in the ground.
The north, this is that town that you're saying has the sawmill and...
Lonelywood, yeah.
So, Lonelywood's not only just the Lonely Wood, but it's a town also?
And he nods in this very, like, slow, deliberate way, like, yes.
Oh. Like what?
Well, I think we've bothered you enough, thank you.
It's no bother. If you were looking for more information, I would suggest the east side, there to the northeast end of town. Or if you're more inclined to the waterfront, there's the Blue Clam to the west.
Oh, these are inns.
Inns, drinking establishments.
He just kind of nods. Much appreciated.
Yeah. And he holds out his hand and kind of offers it to you, and it is massive. Gudrum.
Felgrin. And he'll grab it, which I imagine is a mistake.
And he grabs it. He is surprisingly gentle.
Oh, good.
Though his hand is as coarse as sandpaper, and he gives you this very... He seems to have a deliberate way of speaking about him, and he gives you this very deliberate shake, as if wary of breaking something. Was there anything else? And he kind of looks over the rest of the group.
Not for me.
Hey, no.
No,
I'm good.
We heard what we needed.
I'll leave you then.
Mm-hmm.
I have a... And he kind of gets this, you know, a little bit of a sly look on his face, which is very, very weird on someone as big as he is. And you hear, from about half a block away, a feminine voice calling. And he kind of looks up sharply in that direction and raises a hand. Yeah, I have a...
A wife?
Goodbye, Felgrin.
Yes.
And he, without answering, starts marching off in that direction. And, you know, if you kind of watch for a bit, you see this woman holding a lantern. Brown, mousy hair down to her shoulders. Also hooded with rabbit fur. And as Gudrum comes into the lantern light, she kind of wraps her arm around his waist and the two of them start heading westward along the street.
Oh, there's love in the north.
Shut up. You big softy.
There's no doubt about that. I am a bit of a...
So softy. Which one are we going for, boys?
Yeah, you want the clam or the east side?
Okay, so...
It's gotta be the clam.
I know, but the only thing I was thinking of is... I'm not sure if you guys remember, but Dahlia, the barmaid in Bryn Shander...
Yeah, the one that was gave sweet me name. On you.
Yes, but uh-huh. She gave me the name of her aunt. I swore the aunt lived... I can't remember if it was Targos or Tourmaline, but I thought it was Tourmaline. And she had an aunt that lived up here, Aunt Marta. So I thought maybe that would be a good connection.
That's... I don't remember that in the slightest. So...
I wrote it down. So things all I right. Like, as it happened, I took note of it. That was the only reason I have it. There's no way I just pulled that off the top of my head. But and I didn't write down where it was. I thought I remember her saying Tourmaline, but it could have been Targos.
Sure, so just a woman named Marta in the city, maybe.
It is on the east side.
But I thought she owned an...
Oh.
It is on the east side?
In Tourmaline, yes.
Hey! Lando's the note keeper here.
Yeah, he's much better. No. So mine are awful. I have a page.
And a lease, I think, does it a little. I don't. So hi, I'm the piece of shit, the resident piece of shit.
Oh, me too.
Okay, so east side is where we'll find that particular contact.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we have to go that, because there's really no extra connection to that other than...
I don't see why we can't go to both. I mean...
That's true.
You know, but...
Yeah. I mean, I guess we could head the east side and then hook back to the Blue Clam, since we got to go north out there towards the Lonelywood anyways.
If I'm not mistaken, the clam's closer, isn't it?
To the Lonelywood, that's what I'm saying. So if we went to the east side first, then the clam, we're already closer to the Lonelywood to just shoot straight up.
Is the clam closer to the Lonelywood?
Yeah, Lonelywood's up.
Yeah, the clam is closer to the Lonelywood. The town is about half a mile or so across.
It shows
that the northwest, because up at the top, in the top left corner of the map, it says to the Lonelywood. So.
I see this now.
Yep.
The town hall, in case Felgrin wants to become mayor.
Mm-hmm. We could cruise by there too. So we could hook up through the to the east side, then shoot across the, because we essentially have to go past there to the town hall, and then up to the clam, hit all three places.
All right, let's do some bar hopping.
Sounds good to me.
To the east side.
It's like fucking St. Paddy's Day in Boston.
To the east side. All right. So as you approach the east side, from the outside, it looks like several separate houses. But as you approach and get a little closer and finally, you know, see the sign entrance and head in, it turns out that each of them are single structure with rooms sort of connected, and you could see the entrances of underground passages leading out from the main room, where all these smaller homes are connected together. As you enter, you find yourself coming into a room where there's probably about 24 people, all of them sitting around, drinking very quietly, kind of enjoying one another's company. It's a very more sedate atmosphere than you had experienced in the Dwarven Valley. There's also a bit of tension in the air. A lot of these people have the sort of rough look and hardened hands of people that do a lot of hard labor. As you enter, look, you know, a couple people look up and kind of see your group, and there's a little bit of suspicion, as there always is here in the Dale.
Yep, especially walking in with a dragon.
Yeah, dragon, warforged, tiefling. Yeah,
dragon, warforged, tiefling.
Yeah.
Which is funny to say, because as everyone else is shuffling in, and Miri arrives at the door last, you actually hear her kind of grunt and groan.
Rian?
What's wrong, sweetie?
She kind of twists around to look at her hindquarters, which are stuck outside the door.
She's too big to fit through doors now? Oh, shit. I think he kind of walks up and just kind of cocks his head, puts his hands on his hips. He's like, but this is interesting now, isn't it? This is a whole new world, eh? Like, we've gone from...
It's embarrassing is what it is.
Ah, it's fine. You're a grown girl.
Been feeding her a little too much, have we?
Oh, stop it. Don't give my girl a complex.
That big head of hers swings towards you, Felgrin, and she sticks her tongue out at you.
He just smiles wider.
Like, well, we got a couple options here. I can come around and try to force you in a little bit and get you through the door.
No, just turn her sideways like a couch. And then he just laughs.
I think I'm going to just stay outside. And she starts backpedaling under the eyes of several people that are now all starting to look.
Oh, well, now I feel bad.
Yeah, see? That's what you get. Okay, sweetie. We won't be long. I'll come back as quick as possible. And say, stay just outside the door there. And, you know, yell if anybody gives you any trouble.
I'll stay with her.
Aww, you guys are good guys.
Yeah, Tavini is doing the same. She's going with Krellick and Lando and staying
with...
Well,
again, then there were two.
Well. Well, that made me look like a bad dad, huh?
So Miri sort of coils up in the, you know, patches of snow. She finds probably the cleanest place that there is on these well-trod paths through the town, and settles in to wait. Just kind of curls up, rests her head on her forepaws.
She'll just kind of slap you on the shoulder. He's like, a teamwork makes the dream work.
Hey, I feel bad about that, though.
They can't talk so damn big to save their life, except maybe Tavini, because she's very nice and people like her most of the time. But the other two... gods, no.
Dreamer pokes his head in the door.
He wants to be like, come on. And then it's like, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Okay, let's get this done.
Dreamer always has like a sixth sense. Like, you talking about me?
Yeah.
Poking his head in the door and just like squints at you.
Does the points at his eyes and points at you type thing. Watching you.
Doesn't even know what that means, yet he does it all the time.
You know, you don't have to wait out here with me. I'm, the cold doesn't bother me.
kind of reassuring those that are outside with her.
Krellick just shrugs, pulls out his pipe. That's all right. Been to enough taverns.
It's not about the cold anyway.
Oh, you guys, we're like a little family. A little family. Oh, my daughter. Oh, jeez.
You hear she gives this very happy rumble deep in her chest and kind of, you know, snuggles in closer to the snow.
Like a kitty purr, but for a dragon?
Like a...
And you're missing
Tavini
it.
Tavini just like...
I know.
Pats Miri on the head. Just, you know, quiet.
Oh, right behind, yeah, the horn, the base there. Gets a little dry and itchy.
Okay. And then she's scratch.
You're giving scritches now.
Do I believe that?
Roll insight.
Nice.
Success.
Yeah.
22.
You know, if it does get dry and itchy, it's weird that she's never mentioned it before.
Nice.
That's what I thought.
My little manipulator daughter.
That's not something to be proud of.
Who do you think she learns it from?
Yeah, I was going to say, fucking... God damn it.
What?
If I was out there right now, yeah, I'd be like, God damn, Grin.
That's fucking... not... Come on. That's... That is not fair. All right, it's fair.
Okay. Yeah, it's fair. Let's get this done.
Well, let's go talk to some people.
Hi.
Yeah, back inside, you find yourselves, as I said before, about 24 people in here. Several of them, now that the dragon is no longer in the room, have gone back to drinking and talking. I do see one or two people kind of surreptitiously looking up to glance at the people that travel with the dragon, but again, there's no real sense of hostility in this room.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
However, the space behind the bar is empty.
This is the first tavern I've ever seen without a bartender.
Hey, is this like a self-serve thing? Do we just go back there and grab what we want?
That would be a mistake.
Yeah, you're probably right. That we tried that back at the Dwarven Valley. Mm-hmm. That didn't go as well for us, did it?
No, it didn't. I don't know what you mean by we. It was more me.
Oh, I was right there. Well, that's true. I stopped first, but I was right there with you for the beginning of it. How you talked me into it, I'm not sure, but...
I don't remember.
Me either. I barely remember us actually doing it. I thought it was a dream until that same lady gave me a shitty look when we left.
At that point, he's looking for like a waitress, like a barmaid, or...
As you were looking around... Your eyes do start to catch and then follow a very willowy young woman. Looks like a teenager who seems to be gathering up empty mugs from a table as a couple people kind of finish their drinks and then get out and start shuffling out. This sort of sandy blonde-haired teenage girl, human, who fills her arms with cups and starts marching them over to the bar. And as she does, you hear her sort of singing a song to herself. Ahead of winter's when she came, the lovely woman with no name, draped in a fur-lined cloak of red, to the icy lake she fled. Wind pursued her all the same, sure as night she's dead.
Charming.
Seems to be kind of...
Yeah.
Going about her work.
I think Rian was like whimsically like nodding along to it, and then she hit that last line. He's like, "Oh shit!"
it would probably do like that flat mouth stare. Like, that's not how I expected it to end.
No, it's very whimsical for a second. Like, yeah, I think we'll approach her, try to get her attention.
She doesn't initially look up at you as she gets behind the bar, and she sort of dumps the used mugs into a large, low wooden, like, dish.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately grabs a rag and kind of slops it into a bucket of soapy water and starts really attacking them.
Oh, nice.
But on feeling eyes upon her, she kind of glances over her shoulder and then doubles back to look at you both. Oh, hi! There's something I can do for you? And she's still, like, vigorously rubbing at one of the cups.
Yeah. Is this, Marta's establishment.
Yeah, this is mine. She nods. I'm Marta.
You're Marta.
They say... What? Didn't they say aunt?
Yeah, that's what I swore.
Are you a Marta, junior?
I'm the only Marta I know.
Do you have an Do you have a niece that lives in Bryn Shander? Works at the bar there?
Yeah, you must be talking about my dad's sister's kid. Not really a kid. Still trying to like vigorously clean.
Huh. Felger just looks confused.
Did she say it was her aunt?
Yeah, she said yeah, that your aunt Marta. But
yeah, she's and she kinda taps the side of her head and makes like a twisty motion with her finger.
Oh. Okay.
Time slips away from that one.
That explains why she was so into you.
he first grimaces, he's like, oh, I dodged a bullet there. And after you say that, he's like, oh, yeah, I guess.
amazing.
I just came here for some, see if we get some information. Say we're looking to possibly head up to the Lonely Wood, following some rumors we had heard. Heard something about, what was a great white moose or something like that up that way?
Oh, and here I thought you would be about the mine, but, no, the moose?
Well, now I wonder what the mine's all about.
It seems very, very dour in here.
Hi.
She grimaces. Another table gets up and, you know, starts to leave, and as the door pushes open, that same blast of icy wind from off the lake comes ripping into the room, making all the torches, you know, flicker and shudder. There is a very loud sort of accompaniment of complaints from everyone who just kind of like huddles into their robes a little tighter, their cloaks.
It's the anti-norm.
to everyone but Marta, who seems to take that blasty ice of wind in stride and doesn't even seem to notice it. Yeah, a couple of kobolds moved in and kicked everyone else out.
Oh. He just kind of narrows his eyes like, a couple of kobolds?
Kicked everyone out.
Little dragon, little dragon-like people? Those?
Yeah, he turns to Felger and he's like, are kobolds different up here than they are anywhere else?
Because I don't know.
I've seen kobolds. And
when you say a few, do you mean a lot?
Well, I don't work in the mine, so I wouldn't know how many.
Huh.
But these are good hard working folk here. I don't know that anyone here would lift a hand against something like that.
Huh. Interesting. So they just moved in, kicked everybody out, and that's why no one's got jobs right now? No one's getting to work?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know all the details. You'd probably want to speak to Aris. He's the town speaker. He usually stays at the clam.
Well, what a coincidence.
Hey, what's up? Okay, well, back to our original question. Do you know anything about this great white moose we've heard up in Lonelywood? You heard any tale, any rumors as far as that goes?
Walk with me. And she's finished the couple of dishes that she had originally picked up and sort of dumped into this tub.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now turned on their heads, drying on the counter. As she goes to take care of the table that has previously emptied and kind of is waving you to follow. Very obviously, very busy young woman. So you're asking about the moose?
Hey, yeah, we heard just tale of it, the moose of the Lonely Wood up in Lonely Wood there. We were thinking about, you know, stopping by, see if maybe we could help. Is there you don't suppose there's a bounty for it or anything like that, is there?
I can, I can at least tell you that. There's been a couple of hunters that came through that were looking to make some money up that way for it.
Gotcha.
I don't know what happened to them.
Mm. Well, obviously the tale's still be spreading, so they haven't, I'd assume they haven't hunted it, otherwise we'd have heard word of the great white moose of the Lonely Wood being slain.
I can only imagine what something like that would look like on the wall. She kind of pauses for a moment and picking up drinks and puts a couple of them down, holds up her fingers as if framing something on the wall.
Nice. Well?
Yeah, right there.
Oh yeah? Well, what'd it be worth to you to have something like that framed up on the wall?
She starts to answer and then kind of stops herself and narrows her eyes shrewdly.
He kind of just smiles.
How much would you want for it?
Let's start with a lot.
Aye. If Hunter's gone up there and ain't come back yet, and obviously haven't completed the job, can't be an easy hunt, so and say, what would I want for it? I don't know. What do you think, Grin? A few thousand?
That's so much money.
I mean, it is just a moose, and you know, the butcher would probably take it for 10 gold.
Yes. Yeah. Legendary beast, 10 gold.
Yeah, seems legit. Well, again, I don't know. Fortunately, I don't know your guys' economy very well up here. I don't know how much business a giant moose head would bring in for you, so obviously I set my price a little high there for you to see how you reacted, but can't blame a guy for trying.
How about we talk price after we've killed the beast?
That works. So,
no point in negotiating over what you don't have.
That's true. But, in anyways, this is all circumstantial anyways. Who knows if we even end up going that way and doing that. We were just trying to get some information.
I'll tell you what, we'll come here first.
Hey, we can do that.
Thank you for that. You sure you're not interested in the kobolds and taking care of that problem?
Well,
I'm sure there's gold in it.
Felgrin looks disinterested.
I'm not against that. What, who would we talk to about that? You said, what was it? Aris, you said. That's right, his name is Aris. Over at the Clam. Okay. Well, yeah, we'll go talk to him about that, see what's up. We gotta head that way anyways. We're still looking for some information about that, the moose, so...
Yeah, of course.
But interesting. Okay, so... Can Rian just do a quick look around? Like, I know everybody said they were a little, like, gloom and glower type thing, but does anybody know, like, he just wants to, like, if there's anything weird about this place, because it just, everything, I don't know, this might be meta, but I just can't help but feel this is weird. Like, this whole thing is weird. Like, that we met this girl, said it was her aunt, we show up, she's like, no, it's not an aunt, she's like fucking 15, she's running a bar, like, all of this seems a little odd. There's kobolds, like, 2 kobolds, and no one can handle it, like...
You know, why don't the pair of you make me some persuasion checks?
Oh, persuasion checks?
So you kind of ask around a little, yeah. Okay.
Persuasion checks.
Nice, 15 and 16.
So, splitting up to different tables at the bars, you're kind of like, you know, make your goodbye to Marta and start asking some questions. It doesn't take you long, either of you, to learn that Marta's father... Clyde, retired fisherman, is bedridden and stays in one of the, you know, smaller houses that's sort of attached by low tunnels here to the central inn, and that Marta is taking care of the place on her own.
Still weird. Okay.
And for Felgrin, the table that you're standing over is people are kind of talking about, like, oh, well, you know, Herda, he's, I've been bedridden a couple months now, but, you know, she's got good money in this place from her grandparents, and, you know, she can always sell off that ring of hers.
Ring?
Ah, you didn't see it.
Can't say I did.
I suppose you wouldn't notice it, it's just a ring. There was a tale here. About 50 years ago, this woman in a red fur-lined cloak... stopped at this very inn on their way up to the Lonely Wood. You know, I hear that because this woman was alone and frightened, her grandparents tried to, you know, console her, get her to tell her what was going on. A woman gave them this ring for thanks. But almost soon as she'd parted with it, this howling wind came bursting through and tossed the woman about like a rag doll. Her grandparents, Marta's, intervened long enough for this woman to escape, but that evil wind battered the pair of them and left them unconscious before following her out. No one's seen hide nor hair of her. Well, you know the story's true. Else where's that ring from? And they kind of raise their drinks and take a sip.
I'm so glad that we just fucking checked on that.
Well, as soon as he hears that, he'll thank them. And, share the tale with Rian.
Well, that is quite interesting.
Matches the song.
Oh, I wasn't... Honestly, I don't remember the song. Just that she died at the end.
Well, we can get a refresher.
Yeah. Oh, did Josie post the song or something? I didn't see it. Okay, there we go. But... I don't know what to make of it. I mean, it could just be people telling tales, you know.
It could be, yes, but... Is this father actually bedridden? Has anyone seen him? Besides her?
I know, but what are we getting into here? Like, we're starting to make, what, accusations? Someone we've only just met, and... Or going off with the tale of some people in a town just because a song matched a...
I tend...
What some people said?
To think the worst of people. That's true.
Aye, and I'll tell you what, this whole thing just seems...
Weird?
Strange, no. I mean, I know you made your joke about Dahlia being crazy, but, you know, she might have been a little naive as a young woman, but she didn't strike me as just batshit crazy to mistake someone's age or something like that. It just, all of this just kind of doesn't add up. It just seems strange to me, but again, I don't...
If only we'd had insightful people.
Speaking of, look, we're gonna put the two of you on ice for a moment.
Cool. Yeah, that's
understandable. And head outside, where the trio, who are there with Miri, and there's a couple of torches set out front that give off at least some ambient heat, as well as just leaning up against Miri's side. You know, she's not as hot as a furnace, but certainly exudes some herself. What about Dreamer and Tavini?
Tavini's got her journal out and the sending stone, and she's like turning it over and making notes and turning it over and making notes and just trying to figure out how it works.
Alrighty. Roll me a Arcana check.
Ooh, 17.
So it occurs to you that with this lone stone, nothing has really happened to it until, you know, just the other day or so, and you received a message through it, this sort of raspy voice. And it sticks in your mind, how was that accomplished? You know, is this the conduit for some spell? Perhaps, you know, some... You'd be vaguely aware of spells like message that can kind of deliver contact over a brief distance. And there is a wonder if maybe this stone doesn't have a twin somewhere out there. That would be a similar conduit from messages sent from yourself there.
Hmm.
I think Tavini's clever enough for that load of information there.
She's scratching notes and then like a question of how many twins? How many can it link to? Things for her to think about in the future.
Hmm. Theorizing. And Dreamer, how about you?
Dreamer is probably just has produced flame in his hands to give himself some warmth as well, and is listening intently to make sure that a fight doesn't break out inside the bar.
No faith. That's why I went.
No faith.
Are you standing by the door with your hands just cupped around this flame? Are you sitting there?
Probably sitting.
Okay.
So he looks.
So Krellick, you have like the warmth of a torch up on the wall on your face, and weirdly, a bit of ambient heat to your left at about knee height, because Dreamer has sort of sat there cross-legged in the snow with his hands cupped around a little flame, like he's a statuesque brazier. So it is actually weirdly comfortable, even when this icy wind comes whipping off the lake from west to east, and as a couple of people are heading out of the east wind, the torches gutter and flicker, and even your own produce flame in your hands almost goes out as this wind rips through, you know, these intermittent gusts off the lake. Now, what is everyone doing at this time? Are you continuing to investigate whatever weirdness is there at the Eastwind Rian or Felgrin, or what is the plan here?
Personally, I think Rian is like looking at it like we don't have enough information to go off anything right now. Like, so I think he would come back out to the group and just explain what they found and what they heard and about the, you know, about the mine, about the weirdness of that place, and kind of our our theories as far as, like, or not theories. They're absolutely not theories yet. They're fucking, well, I guess they're theories.
Felgrin would hang behind. If he's going, if you're going outside, he'll hang behind.
Oh, okay.
He wants to ask her another question.
Okay, sweet.
Alrighty.
But yeah, I think Rian's definitely going outside to let them know just what's up as far as that goes. And as he's kind of walking out, he sees Grin stand behind. He'll just kind of give him a, like, one of those, like, okay.
I'll be
like,
with you a in nod. A moment.
Yeah, he's gonna just a nod, like, okay, handle your business.
Alright. And as Rian departs to update the others, what are you doing, Felgrin?
He's gonna approach her.
And right now, Marta has finished clearing a second table and finished a second load of dishes and is now taking up a broom trying to sweep back a lot of the snow that had sort of blown in with that powerful wind back out the front door. So every word that she says is punctuated by the swish of her broom. Yeah, is there something I can do for you?
So, say we get our hands on this moose and we arrive here and you're not here, where can we find you?
Nice.
I mean, I'll be here.
At all times? You don't sleep?
Well, yeah, I gotta sleep. I usually do it in the afternoon before we open for the evening.
Okay. Well, I have a feeling that a lot of people in these parts will want a piece of this moose, so I'm going to need to be able to find you.
Yeah, I'm not leaving my place of business. And she gives you a very questioning look.
I'm not certain what you mean. Does this place never close?
No, it closes. Okay,
well, where do you go when it closes?
I stay here. My Da and I live here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all I wanted to know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, no, it's fine. Understood.
I might have been unclear. My apologies. I'll offer a charming smile. Well, good luck, and, you know, maybe consider hiring some help. You seem like you've got a lot on your plate.
It's not so bad when everyone's working.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that.
Thanks.
Take care. Then he'll,
Yeah, you too. Stay safe on your road up there.
He'll squeeze his way out of the door as to let as little snow in as possible.
Alrighty.
And join them outside.
He comes out to us already, Rian explaining it, being like, yeah, it's something about that place just seems off. It's the woman there is just, But like, I think he'll, like, nod to the rest of them and be like, you remember Dahlia back in Bryn Shander? She was our waitress. You know, she talked about her Aunt Marta. Like, we go in there, and it's like a young girl. She looked like she's, like, 15. And just said that Dahlia was crazy. And that she is Marta, but not her aunt. Like, and as Felgrin comes out, yeah, he's like, oh, what? Did you find out anything more?
Just that they also live here. Her and her father. In the same building. And you'll notice that he said father in quotations.
Nice. I mean, we got nothing to go on as far as this goes, but it's just seems so off and odd.
But we do have a dreamer who can turn into a teeny spider in order to find any perspective we might seek.
I don't know about that, though. That doesn't that seem a little off to just send Dreamer into somebody's house, like sneaking around just because we think something seems off.
He just kind of purses his lips and shakes his head like he doesn't understand why that would be a problem. No?
If you are concerned, why not speak to the father?
Oh, well, you would need a reason, right, to speak to her ill father.
Oh, you know what, actually? Now that you say that, that makes sense. Tavini, you're a healer. Maybe you could actually help him. If it is true, and he's having trouble, he's fallen ill, maybe you have the ability to help him. Like, it wouldn't even be a ruse. It wouldn't even be us being sneaky or anything like that. Like, we could actually try to help him. Make sure that he's all right.
I could try. And Dreamer,
Dreamer heals too.
Mm-hmm. We could give it a shot.
Aye. I mean, at first I was off on this. Like, I mean, how do we explain it away? I don't want to invade these people's privacy in their homes just to, you know, on the thought that, oh, maybe something's not right, in my opinion, but...
You mean more than we've already done? Because she certainly didn't tell us that her father was ill.
Aye, that's true. But we did hear it. You heard it from the folk in there. So, at least we can proposition it, you know? Gauge her response.
By all means.
Aye.
Think I'll just spectate for this one.
Okay. Sounds good. Dreamer, Tavini?
If there is someone who is sick, I would like to help them.
I appreciate that. It's very kind of you. I wouldn't expect any less of you. And I think he'll wander in again. And he'll look to Miri and be like, I am so sorry, my dear. I promise.
I'll stay out with her.
I appreciate that, Grin. Thank you.
You know, really, you don't have to stay out here.
He just plops in the snow.
Yeah, I think Krolik's staying out there, too.
Miri gives him a bit of a guilty look and then just kind of tents a wing over Felgrin.
Oh, thank you.
Aww.
Just kind of dusts the snow.
I mean, you look like the wind would blow right through.
Oh, thank you very much.
That is so funny now. Like, that is like such a tiny little baby thing to like tenting her wing over him and being like, oh, you're so little.
You are weak and puny.
You are small enough for me to kill easily. Remember that for future problems Jesus. We might have. Well, I'm just saying.
It's okay, you're almost small enough for me.
Well, I'm saying a favor begets a favor, does it not?
Is the favor that you didn't kill her?
Yes.
That's not much of a favor.
That's just something
normal people
do.
That's the ultimate favor, Dreamer. Not killing someone is the best thing you can do.
Let's not go down this path.
Could also be the worst thing you could do.
Can't argue with that.
He just rolls his eyes hard.
He just kind of waves you off. Go on.
I.
She'll be fine. Go on.
Oh, I know she'll be fine. But he walks into the place just shaking his head.
Alrighty. And now the room has lost about half a dozen people or so from, you know, the two groups that have left. And conversation has grown a little quieter as a result. Marta continues to scurry about and clean up different odds and ends. You know, she's dusting bottles now behind the bar. How are the two of you approaching this? Or whoever is
heading
in.
Three, I guess. Yeah. Three of them.
Yeah, as I say, Dreamer, are you coming in with us? You didn't technically say you were, so
yeah,
I wasn't sure. Yeah,
I'll also come in.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's Tavini, right, yeah. Dreamer, Rian.
Yeah, I think he'll, Rian again, since he's already talked to her, will kind of flag her down, be like, Marta. And like,
Yeah?
Be like, hey, so, I don't mean to intrude on your life and things going on, but, when we were about asking around, it came up a bit about that your father had been possibly ill and wasn't doing well. But a friend of mine here, both of them, one is a naturalist, a healer, a druid, and the other is a cleric of Moradin. They could probably help your father if it's true that he's not feeling well. You know, we'd like to help out as much as we can.
Hello.
A little circle wave from Dreamer.
Mini circle away from Tavinius.
Nice.
Oh, well, that's real kind of you. I'm a little busy here. If you want to sit for a couple minutes while I find a good stopping point. And she grimaces and kind of looks over the rest of the establishment.
Oh, that's not a problem. I mean, no rush. I'll say, we'll take a seat and wait you out here for a second. Unless you just want to point us the way. Like I said, we could. I mean, obviously you don't know us very well, but trust me, these are good folk. They do nothing but try to help. So, unless you want to just point us the way towards, you know, where he is, we can, you know, possibly just try to, you know, do what we can as far as the healing goes. It's up to you.
She purses her lips and they kind of pull to one side as she looks over Dreamer and Tavini. Roll me a persuasion check.
Sure thing. And blue.
Oh no.
Oh fuck, Natty one. God damn it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It'll only be a few minutes, please.
Oh, no problem. I don't mean to step on your toes. You go ahead, handle your business, and we'll wait right over here. He'll grab a table.
All right. And as you grab a table, you see another small table has finished their drinks and is getting up and walking out. And as they do, Marta scurries over and grabs their tankards and goes and dumps them in the tub. And you see her just, you know, going back and forth, doing little odds and ends. And then she goes to one of the tables, and you can hear her now that things are a little quieter.
Hey, Beatrice, can you just kind of keep an eye on things while I'm away?
Seems to be talking to one of the other locals, and the woman gives a nod. This very heavy-set-looking person with short, cropped hair, the same sort of rugged look as all the other miners. But, after a moment, Marta comes back to your table, where, the trio have sat.
Yeah, just a few minutes. Yeah.
Hey, no problem. I think he's trying to get an eye since, Felgren made the comment about the ring. Just trying to get an eye on that ring a little bit. And I know he can't get his hand on it or anything, but, like, if he can get any type of sense for it. As far as,
Oh, yeah, your ability to detect. Yeah. All right.
See if it's juiced up.
Yep, see if it's got that mojo.
Yeah, very, very distinctly, there is a, a sense of magic around her.
Just as I surmised. As I...
Did you?
Stroke my chin. I mean, sorta. Not... It started going weird. We talked about the... When they mentioned the ring, I was like,
"We have no reason to suspect her."
Well, Dane, not Rian. Rian has no reason to suspect her.
Now, remind me, does that ability work like identify where you also know the school of magic?
It doesn't say anything about that, and it doesn't unless I do identify as a ritual. Yeah, only if I do identify as a ritual, do I. Actually find out what it is or anything like that. Like, as far as I can tell, I can just, like, look at something, tell the value of it, and if it's magical or not. Like, that's all I can really do. I don't think it gives me any type of...
Yeah, no, it doesn't. You would be able to cast Identify on it as a ritual, but that would require her, like, handing it over for several minutes.
Exactly. That's kind of what I figured, so I wasn't expecting that.
But with Dreamer's high passive perception... And let's see. Yeah, no, he's the only person that would have it high enough.
Yeah, I think Rian would actually tell him to, like, keep an eye on that ring for me, buddy. Like, something weird about this.
It does actually catch your eye enough that you're able to see or tell details of the ring, Dreamer. It appears to be weirdly made of wood, with almost a double band situation going on, and the symbol on the head of it at first looks like perhaps a folded rose, but as she starts leading you to where her father's room is, and she goes to reach for the door, you actually see that it is a pair of curled up foxes, like two little white snow foxes, cuddling together, essentially.
So cute.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a picture of this. I will post it in our Discord.
Oh, ooh. I gotta see it. And if it's really good, we're gonna have to kill her and get her grin.
Yeah, you can even see there's like a little bit of like tufted furriness around the edges of the wooden parts of the ring.
Well, she was sweet, but she's gotta go.
Damn shame.
I completely agree. That is too goddamn shame. Adorable.
Cock shot.
Oh, it's even got like fur on the inside of it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, shame. I like it. Yep, it is a shame she has to die now. I like her, too.
But
I don't know how I'm going to tell Dahlia.
She pulls open the door to her father's bedroom. After leading you down sort of low tunnel and back up a short flight of steps. Because it seems like this inn is built as sort of a central hub, and then there's a bunch of smaller structures attached that are all attached by low tunnels, so that no one has to step outside when they stay here. She kind of pokes her head in.
Duh.
She waits a moment. Duh. And you hear this grumble from the darkness. And she looks back down the tunnel at the three of you who followed.
One second.
You have no power here.
She heads inside and sort of briefly closes the door behind her. You can faintly hear conversation from, you know, her sort of higher voice and this low, tired rumble.
I'm going to step a little closer so I can maybe hear something.
I was going to say, I almost want to fucking cast Expeditious Retreat and just be like, zip up there real fast and like listen to the door and then zip back real quick.
I mean, you're only a few feet from it, so.
Oh, okay, never mind. I thought we were like a ways
down. You'd be like down on the steps some.
Oh, okay, never mind then. Yeah, we can take a step forward.
Yeah, okay. Both of you
trip into it.
Both of you make me a perception check.
That would be amazing. I love it.
Ooh, I was waiting for that natty one.
Yeah, I was waiting for the natty one too.
I was like,
there's still one more person who could do a natty one.
21.
Oh, that's good.
The pair of you, as you're sort of leaning in to listen at the door, you can
hear one on top of the other.
Just about.
Yeah, I'm like leaned down and Dreamer's up higher, like we're both got our ears to the door.
You can faintly make out Marta's voice going,
Dad, there's some people here to see you.
And you hear this deeper rumble.
Oh, well, send them in. If you would.
Yeah. You sure you're okay with that?
I'm fine.
And you hear him call a little louder, come on in!
Oh, okay. Well, this doesn't seem as dark or weird. It's kind of feeling like a jerk now. Okay, yeah. I guess Rian will kind of ease the door open.
Just saying, Dad's probably a slad.
Jesus, that's a jump. You calling that now?
Slad Dad. Slad Dad.
Is this the call from the like way downtown calling your shot? Yep.
Slad Dad.
I like it.
So as the door creaks ominously open, you find yourself peeking into a 10x10 sort of cabin-like room, you know, with a frosted glass window that faces north. And there are sort of these metal black lines through the glass forming diamond pattern. A hearth burns low off to your left there. You can see like just faint smoke trails, and there's a little bit of a glow from the embers. And at a bedside table beside this very large plush bed stands a lone candle that is flickering and throwing off, you know, a decent amount of light. Marta is standing over this wide bed while a man is sort of pushing himself up onto the pillows and sort of propping up his pillows behind him so he can sit upright. And he's looking at you, and you see where Marta has a sort of like honey blonde, very light colored hair. He has darker hair and sort of a handlebar mustache going on, a big honking nose. It looks like it's been broken at least once. A couple of curved scars on his cheeks and on his forearms and his hands. And you watch as he kind of thumbs his nose and makes this deep sniffing sound before addressing you.
Yes, you were speaking to my daughter. You wanted to see me.
I have some friends here. We heard you were a little under the weather. You had been bedridden for a while, and I have some friends here that are healers. Might be able to help you out. Just wanted to do what we could. Seems to be kind of our thing around this ways now.
Hello.
And he kind of raises an eyebrow at you. And then when Tavini says hello, he looks at her and, oh, hello, little one. I take it you're the healer.
And Dreamer.
And she looks up at Dreamer.
Hello.
Well, look at that. Very interesting. I've never seen something like that before. And he's pointing, sort of indicating Dreamer.
Hey, he's what's called a Warforged.
But don't let the name fool you. He's actually a gentle giant.
I wouldn't know anything of war myself. I don't know how much you're going to be able to help. And he reaches down towards the edge of the blankets and kind of pulls him to one side. You can see one of his legs is fine. The other is missing below the knee.
Oh. What happened there to you, bud?
I fish, or used to, out on the waters there, while my parents ran this place. I had to stop and take over when they passed. But
that's a shame.
A couple of months ago, one of my friends asked me to assist him on the water, and I couldn't well say no, but I had underestimated the slipperiness of the deck. I went in, and most of me got out of the water. Well, some of the things in that water have teeth.
Man, what's in that water that took off your entire leg? Knuckleheads aren't that big, are they?
No. I don't think. I've never seen a knucklehead that big. I didn't see what bit me.
Oh?
The wound's not raw. It's closed, but sore. And it's, kind of an embarrassment, so I stay here until we're, until I get stir crazy.
Hmm. So, you're not actually sick. Your pride is wounded.
Did someone say I was sick?
Well, I guess I made a little inference on that. They said, people outside said you were bedridden, so...
Well, yeah, I've been riding the... And he stops himself and kind of looks at his teenage daughter. That would have come out wrong. No, I've been here in bed for, you know, a bit recovering.
Hi.
Tavini's approaching the bed, like, completely fascinated and looking at his leg.
Yeah, I think Rian still has just this eerie, odd feeling. So is there any perception checks or anything I can do just to, like, or maybe a, insight to see if this guy's on the up and up? Like,
yeah, you could certainly roll me an insight check.
Okay. Psst, 11.
11? Seems earnest and honest.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, I know you're a great healer and you've closed up some wounds for me, but I don't know about bringing back legs.
Would you like a leg?
And you see him kind of sit back a little at that and really kind of look at you consideringly. And Marta is also looking from you to her da, sort of trying to gauge him.
I mean, can you give a leg? I'm not thinking of taking one from someone else, small one. And I think yours are a little too short.
That'd be funny.
Gives a bit of a, like, a dad joke grin.
Yeah.
She smiles.
No, I might be able to make one.
Oh, you mean with, like, your crafting and whatnot? Uh-huh. It's not a bad idea. She'd made some pretty amazing things. And I was like, I wish my friend Krellick was here. It's like, show off the armor that she made for him, but...
Is that so?
Yes.
How much would such a service cost?
Only the materials. I need metal.
Metal's not in hard supply with the mine, though there's more gemstone in it than ore. You know, I suppose there's likely scrap about. Marta, and she kind of, you know, stands up a little straighter. Yeah, Dad? Go see if you can help her with what she would need for something like that.
Yeah, of course.
May I measure your legs?
Yeah, and I think if she's taken off, I'll volunteer to go with her to help her, you know, get whatever together she's going to get.
And Papa Marta, Clyde, nods and sort of pushes himself to the edge of the bed and lets his good leg hang over with his stump now facing you, Davini. And you can see it is a lot of new skin there on the end of it.
When she goes to reach out, she sees that it's still new. So she pulls her hand back.
And he's like pulling down his pant leg over it. I know it's a weird sight. I'm still not used to it myself.
Oh, no. And she reaches up, grabs her holy symbol, and then speaks a prayer to cast Cure Wounds, just to take any tenderness out of that stump.
All right, if you want to roll for that.
And so she just, like, touches him just above the stump of his leg.
And as you do, you feel that familiar warmth, and even the embers that are burning in the low hearth and the candle on the bedside table there seem to blaze with just a little more heat and light, briefly illuminating the room much more. And as that heat starts to fade again, leach out of the air, Clyde kind of looks curiously down at the stump and he pulls back the pant leg a little. And it's no longer so raw and pink. It looks like good, healthy flesh there. Oh, it's not growing it back, but thank you, lass.
Yes.
I wasn't expecting. It's another. I'm terrible at jokes.
And then she will get out her journal and start writing down measurements, using her hands as, like, the hand span.
Alrighty. And, Dreamer, is there anything that you're doing at this time in the room?
You said your parents passed. What happened to them?
Age and darkness.
Darkness?
Yeah, the dark here.
How long ago did they pass?
Year or so ago.
Say, we are just looking for holes in this story and not getting any of them.
I am sorry to hear that.
Oh, yeah, it's raw, but, you know, Marta, I was more concerned for her, and she was concerned for me, and, you know, with the way things are, kind of expected of people now. He started nodding, looking very grim.
And you raise her alone?
Yeah. She's a good hard worker, yeah. And, we had the grandparents' help. Her grandparents, my parents.
What of her mother?
Well, she and I didn't quite get along, so she's moved to the other side of the Dale. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. It's been a very lonely couple of weeks. I have visitors, but it kind of, like, smiles very uncomfortably.
Sometimes it's just nice to talk.
Dreamer?
Yes?
May I see your, leg?
He'll look down at his legs. It's like, you know, like, put your right foot in.
And she's going to very carefully sketch in her journal a leg like Dreamer's, but then put the measurements of the father's leg around it.
Alrighty. While you're doing that, Rian and Marta, you know, sort of come back out of the low tunnel to the slightly isolated cabin, back out into the common room of the East Wind, where things have continued to grow quieter. There's now only two tables remaining, including the one where Beatrice sits, sort of slowly sipping on an ale that she appears to have refilled herself. Marta kind of stops at her table and raps on the tabletop.
Hey, Beatrice, you, I think you can, take me to the mine?
Beatrice stops midway through drinking, and then her eyes kind of flicker to you, Rian.
I don't know that I can do that, Lass. Not with the, kobolds in there. Then, do you have any, spare scrap from the, maybe broken tools? Yeah, I can ask around. What for? Oh, there's, this man.
And she kind of motions to Rian.
And his friends, they seem to think they can help Da get a, a leg to walk around on for a bit. Or, he's gonna get a leg. Oh.
Rian, what are you doing?
I think you'd have to question that damn kobold thing. So you guys talk about that the kobolds being a problem up at the mine. How many kobolds moved in that would cause everyone to shut down?
Marta gives a shrug, but this miner, Beatrice, he continues to sip her ale and talk.
It's, the kobolds appear a little hardier than I imagine they are elsewhere. A pack of them come at you with spears ready, and all you got is a pick. You don't stand to fight. You go. Not sure how many, but they came in from the surface and just kind of forced a lot of us down in the mines out. And of, taking a barricading the place.
Interesting.
I feel a little sorry for them because we had a miner go missing down there a few days before they showed up. So if something came up from the Underdark, I'm sure it's taking care of the problem for us.
Oh, that mine feeds down into the Underdark.
Yeah, you get in there and there's this huge vertical shaft. No one's been down to the bottom. We had to build scaffolding all around it to fish for geodes. Yeah. When I first started mining, there was a an older man pitched over the side there, and we couldn't go down to recover anything.
Well, this is interesting. The mysteries of this town just keep getting bigger, eh?